We extend Christian greetings to each one. Welcome each one to the service. I hope and trust that we can all receive a special blessing from God today. Not because of me standing here, but the Holy Spirit of God knows how to minister to the needs of your heart. Something that I don't know. But I must say that I have richly been blessed this morning. The devotional that Brother Steve shared, when he shared about his sister-in-law being healed, you know, that is what we are told to do, is to tell each other, our children, the great things that God has done for us. And we need to be more diligent about that work. Pass on those values. Pass on those things that happened that you made aware of. Today, for a message, I thought I would share a little bit on God's values. When I think of God's values, I feel so tiny. All I can do is like scratch around in the dirt a little bit. His values are so vast, it's like way above my head. But with that, I had to think, you know, what do you value in life? What are your values? Deep in the recesses of your heart, what is very special there? What do you value? What is important to you? In our world today, there is so much conflict, chaos, untruth, deception, greed. Even among Christians, we hear of church splits. We hear of people leaving the church. We have some of that here. What do people want? What are people looking for? It seems that some people come up with their own values and perspectives, which causes them to lose interest in the church, which really is the bride of Christ. It would seem that a solution for this problem is if we can accept God's values. You see, we do not really have any values of our own. Now, we can value something, but if we come up with our own values, it might not get us what we really want in life. I believe the important thing is that we accept God's values. And we find them through the reading of His Word, allowing His Spirit to speak to us. You see, if we accept the values that God has in His Word, then we all share the same values. And when we all share the same values, and those values are right values, they would draw us together, also draw us closer to God. And may our value system be in imitating Christ's values. As Christians, we should have a desire to be like Jesus, to find out what His values are and implement those values in our lives, make ourselves a part of that. God's values promote love, joy, peace, happiness, fulfillment in life, and the list could go on and on. A satisfied life. If we exercise and have within ourselves God's values, we value the things that He values, that's what it will bring. When people reject God's values in favor of their own, It can result in chaos, confusion, and disappointments, and in the end, eternal separation from God. I would like today to look at some parables that Jesus shared when he was here. If you care to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. I believe one of our values, probably one of the most important one, should be that we are a part of God's kingdom. And if we value that, we should feel honored that Jesus accepts us as joint heirs with him to enjoy the treasures of heaven with him when he's through with us in this life. Values that we can only imagine. Treasures that we can only imagine. I would like to look at Matthew chapter 13. Verse 44, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." It is like being a part of the kingdom of heaven when we find that. And a message that Jesus told the disciples to preach about was that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus was the King of heaven, is the King of heaven. And he was there. We should have so much treasure in that we're willing to sell everything that we should desire to just make that the most important thing. I'd like to look at verse 45 and 46. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." That pearl of great price is the kingdom of heaven. Do we treasure, do we value God inviting us, allowing us to be a part of that? We are so blessed. I would also like to look at Matthew 13, read verse 24 through 30. It says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Jesus further explains this parable if we step over to verse 36 through 43. It says, and Jesus' disciples, they came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. There's a lot of food for thought in that. A lot of responsibility. I would now like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. More of values that God has for his children. Paul starts in with, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul was a Christ follower. I hope and trust that each one of us is the same. Paul had a desire to value the teachings of Jesus Christ, and that should be the desire within each one of us. He goes on, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have ye know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head." But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man, in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God, as far as we'll read at this time. If I would ask the question to the sisters, why do you wear the head covering? It would be interesting to hear what the responses would be. In our society today at large, the head covering has largely been lost for the sisters. But something that I find very interesting is when we come together at farm-related meetings with our non-Mennonite friends, a lot of them wear hats. And when a meal is provided, and they ask someone to lead in a prayer, a blessing on the food, I find it quite interesting that in our non-Mennonite society, every hat comes off of the head, and everybody bows their head, and we pray. I am not aware, and I'm not that well versed in the scriptures, but I am not aware of any other scripture other than in this place where it talks about the head covering, that a man should not have his head covered. I think in Jewish tradition, it was a tradition for Jews to wear a head covering in worship. But Paul put it very plainly here that a man should not have his head covered when he's praying. And in society, are men still honor this scripture? They remove their hats, whatever coverings they have, for the prayer. And in those meetings, a lot of women are present, but there is no effort put forth to cover their heads. In their society, that is largely lost. And I wonder about that. What kind of value system do they have? Talking to you, sisters, when you decide within yourself to wear the head covering, it is written in God's word. You know, when God says something, does he need to say it twice? Or three times or four times? Is God not serious when he says something only one time? I've had people say, well, it's only recorded in one place, as if that would diminish the value. When you sisters wear the head covering, and if you are wearing it with the proper motives, you are making a clear statement to the visible and to the invisible world that your allegiance is to God and that you accept his order. It is also a constant reminder of who you are in Christ. It comes natural for a Christian man to respect and value highly a woman who is well covered and modestly dressed. That is a natural thing. If we look at verse 13, it says here, judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? I could ask the question, is it comely for us to come together in a worship service immodestly dressed, where we draw attention to ourselves instead of drawing attention to God? I would like to read a scripture in 1 Peter along with this. It's talking about how women should be dressed. It says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. It says here that a woman that is adorned on the inside, talking about her character in the sight of God, that is of great price. The proverb writer says that her price is far, her value is far above rubies. Having true character like that is something that money cannot buy. In Genesis chapter 4, God spoke to Cain. And I mentioned about your head covering being a visible statement to the invisible world. Jesus said that they that worship God must worship God in the Spirit. And as Christians, we know how we pray to God. We cannot see him with our physical eyes. He is like in the invisible world to us. We also know that in this invisible world are demons, evil spirits, and as we come to God in worship in the spirit, may we never dabble in the spirit world where the evil is. But we know it's there. And God told Cain in communication with him that sin lies at his door and desires to have him. And the same is true for all of us. Sin lies at our door and desires to have us. And when you wear the head covering and you do so with proper motives, you are making a loud statement to that world where your allegiance lies. And I believe that you will have a lot of spiritual help in that department in keeping yourself as you ought. And when you do so, you have tremendous value with God. Brother Steve mentioned about his sister-in-law being healed, something that did not happen in the physical sense. I mean, it was like a spirit. Like a God sending an angel with a gift of healing there and healed her. I don't know if Brother Steve was here when I shared this before. I think that he might have, but I think it was like some over a year ago. We also had an experience, and some of you were with me when this happened. It was Polly and I. I think Elma Petersheim was there. Steve's wife, Edith, was there. Along, I think, with two of his daughters. And we were traveling home from a Bible school program, coming in on 641. And I was driving Steve's van and traveling about 60 miles an hour, coming in on 641. We were probably about halfway between Paris and Camden. The 641 has broad shoulders. Nice road to travel, but it was kind of a misty rain coming down. And I had my lights on, and I was kind of, you know, just cruising along. And I was visiting with Edith. Edith was sitting about in the middle of the van, about two seats back, and I was looking at her in my rearview mirror. At the same time, I was also looking ahead. And I noticed that a car ahead of me was coming, also had their lights on, was slowing down to stop and wanting to make a left-hand turn behind me. There was a car behind that one also stopping. And for some reason, I thought there was another third vehicle coming also, but it did not really register to me what registered to Edith. But I was looking in the rearview mirror watching her as I was visiting with her. Pauline was sitting in the front seat with me. When all of a sudden I saw a horrified look on her face, and it caused me to focus out the front. I didn't at this point see anything yet that registered to me as anything dangerous. But just like that, my nose, the nose front end of our van was just about even with the front car that was stopped. When a third vehicle, and what Edith was seeing was a third vehicle, it was a Jeep, coming up behind the other two stopped vehicles going way too fast to stop. And as the front end of my van was coming just real close, I'd say maybe 10 to 20 feet from the nose of the vehicle that was stopped, this Jeep, instead of taking the shoulder, not being able to stop in time, pulled over right into our lane. And here I was doing like 60 miles an hour. And Edith saw this, as did Pauline and some of the others in the van. And those of you who know me know that my reflexes are not that fast. But we knew, without a doubt, that we were going to have an accident. And as fast as I could, I just cranked the wheel. And just like that, we were past and nothing hit. We were so surprised. The first thing I said, and nothing hit. It was divine intervention. Just so easy, several more of us could be out here in the graveyard. If God and His angels are so able to help us in this physical, visible world, they can help us so much more in the invisible world. You see, we are living in the visible world that we can see, but there is an invisible world that we can't see all around us. God's angels, the good angels, they can protect us from so much that we are unaware of. And when we wear the head covering, as God tells us to in His Word, we can get so much help that a lot of times we're unaware of. When we're traveling down the interstate, there are just a few feet from us, you know, from people going in the opposite direction. And we're aware of that. Those are things we can see. But there is so much going on that we can't see. And God tells us not to put this extra burden on us to wear the head covering, because He knows we need that help. It is something the angels can see and rally around. Some people would try to justify themselves and say, well, the hair is given for a covering, to be the covering. If that were the case, then I think it would be necessary for us men to shave our heads so our heads wouldn't be covered. And if God didn't mean what He says in His Word, why is it even there? There is no place in the Scripture that God gives His people something to do that is unnecessary. And God always has our best interest at heart. As I read in 1 Peter about not having adornment on our externals, any man or woman who in our character we are honest, we are truthful, we have integrity, if we are loving, if we are merciful, if we are giving, if we are thoughtful and kind, if we are caring, if we esteem others over ourselves, if we are helpful, if we have those characteristics within ourselves, we will have an inner adornment that will radiate from us that far supersedes any external adornment that you can wear and put on. That is what is in the sight of God of great price. When we have that inner adornment in our character of replicating what Jesus taught, And we have it in His Word. I would just like to encourage us all, and it's not just for the sisters, it's for each one, that we work on our inner character, on the inner man. That is what God highly values in our lives for us. With these thoughts, let's kneel for a word of prayer.